to be. Okay. And that defines our range.
All right. That's good.
Thank you. It's 5 o'clock. Sorry.
This is KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York. It's also KFCF in Fresno, KPFB in Berkeley, if I didn't mention those already, and I probably did. And we are in our last hour here of discussion about the bylaws for today's board meeting.
Listeners. Right. So it tells you all the numbers right there.
Right. But that, okay, that's one way to do it, right?
No.
No.
You don't have no idea.
What we agreed is that a quarter of the board will be staff.
I got that, but
so we need numbers that are divisible by, you know,
four.
By
four.
Four. Right. That are easily divisible by four.
That's not, you know, but you still could have 21 and still divide it by 1/4.
No, it's not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's what
I said. It'd be one person less.
But for ease, because we've not yet determined how often we're going to have elections, in order also to have it divisible by four, you might want to take into consideration those things that would fall into that category. So you necessarily 18 wouldn't necessarily do it if you're going to be electing half. So you'd want to go 16, 24, 36. You could say 16 to 24, 24 to 36. 16, you can vote 24. On those separately if you wanted to, or some range from there.
This is beyond my mathematical capabilities, clearly. So again, let me just suggest that a lot, you know, a number of things are going to have to be fine-tuned, not in today's session. Can I just see, for me it would be easier if we just heard what people think the minimum number should be, and then we vote that those numbers, and whatever gets the most votes is the minimum, then we see what people want the maximum to be.
16.
Okay, 16 is one suggestion. Carol?
18. I'd like to have a large enough number to have real diversity.
Okay,
on
16,
our board.
18. Any other minimum numbers people want to suggest?
What's the number?
We're looking for the minimum. That people might want on the board. Bernard, did you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, taking the considerations of different sizes of the staff, if you're mandating that a quarter of the staff be on the board, if you have a small staff, a quarter of the staff,
yes, that's right.
Yeah, then if you have a small staff and then you're mandating that, say you got 20 people on staff and a quarter of them, five have to be on the board?
No. The point she's making is right, but I think the language is lower. Right. If you have a board that has 50 people on it, and you have a staff that has 20 people on it, right, and a quarter of the board needed to be, what's a quarter of, let's say you had 12 and a half. That's half of your staff would end up having to be on the board, right? So that's what she's considering.
Could I address that point? Enormous,
right. unpaid,
which is over, I think, 100 at every station.
Right. Okay, good point. Well taken, and now we understand. Okay, so again, on the minimum number, I heard 16, 18. Is there any other minimum number people want to throw out? Okay, so how many people support 16 as the minimum number? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And 6.
And 6. 6 support 16. How many support 18 as the minimum number? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yay!
Oh, we tied.
Okay, let's not try that. Let's go for the maximum number. Let's see. We have
24.
What other maximum number might somebody? 36.
3.14.
Huh? No. I don't know what
he said. He said hi.
Okay, there are two options I heard, 24 and 36. Okay, let's again see how the votes go. How many support 24 as the maximum number? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And how many support 36 as the maximum number? 1, 2, 3, 4.
We've
abstained. So we lost them. So,
well, your hand's gone.
What do you want?
I go back 24.
You're going with 24?
Yeah.
And you're going with 24 also? So that's 8. Is that right? I'm sorry, can we just show a quick show of hands again? How many won 24? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
I understand the point, Chandra.
And how many 136. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 24 has more support. So now that we know 24, do you want to look back at 16 or 18 or just not worry about it now?
I would say that 18 is not divisible by 4.
Right.
And we
yes,
want
it is.
How many? What's
not,
that?
You're not even, though, that's all.
It's 4.5. So which half?
We got a weapon.
Okay, what? Sorry, 20 to 24. Another option would be 20 to 24. Let's just see how much support there is for 20 as the minimum.
We're talking minimums, right?
Yeah, how much support there is for 20 as the minimum. 20 to 24. Okay, 20 to 24. Who supports that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five.
How about
5 or 6? 6. And
12.
Huh? I don't know. Is this like a? This is
how about 12?
Yeah. This is like we're floating out there, folks. Right? We'll come back to this another time. Is there anything else in this section that we need to do?
Leslie, we have 54 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. So that's what I'm trying to at least wrap up this section. I think we've wrapped up this section. Can I have a recommendation from somebody on the board about what we want, how we want to use this next 54 minutes? Does somebody have a recommendation?
How about a
net?
That's not divisible by 4.
Do you want to take on another article? Do you want to take on Article 5? Oh, my God. Article 5 is very long. What? Ray, do you have a suggestion?
Yeah, we're going to take on 5.
Huh?
We're too tired. We're going to have to do that tomorrow.
3?
Yeah, I think Article 5 we can't do now. Is there another article, though, we could look at now? What's Article 6? Meeting for please. We don't have to do that. What's, Yeah, we finished 4.
We covered all the
What's Article 7? Is that something we could take up in an hour?
How about Article 6?
We continue this in the morning?
Yeah, we're going to.
That's not a controversial.
Can we do 6? Is that doable?
We've got committees of the board. We could talk about committees of the board.
I mean 7.
That's 7.
7, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
And public comment goes...
Well, what do you think, folks? Do you want to start on 7 and see if we can forge through it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's be real masochists.
3.
No, let's go.
Okay. Article 7 begins on the small grid on page 24. Okay, everybody with us? Page 24. Article 7. And this has to do with committees. And there are, there's section 1 that speaks to a executive committee. And on the grid, the KBFA and the FERDIC model both have something to say about this. Do any of the other models, does the PAC or the Unity Caucus speak to the question of an executive committee? I don't think no. Does PAC speak
PAC to? Says specifically no executive committees.
Okay. And, I'm sorry, KBFK, you want no executive committees.
That's true, although we talk about a national committee, so it's not the same. It's just the language is different, and some of the duties are different from the KPFA model.
Yeah, this is a different model from what you've seen before.
Yeah, I think there's another article
7.
That has to deal with other committees, or maybe it's later in this one.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to the national committee idea
right.
that you have. Right now it's executive committee in the more usual, traditional way. That
Let me
right.
say this. The executive committee is all administrative, and the one that and ours is also all administrative, so it is the same thing, even though it was typed lower in the grid. It's not. It's the same.
It's the
discussion.
Same thing.
Okay.
Next question.
Sure. What are we discussing, Leslie?
We're on Article 7, page 24. Article 7, committees of the board.
I just want to ask a quick question because I'm not sure if this... but there was a KPFK model that had... I don't know if...
The small grid has the new model, the Unity model that came out of KPFK.
So that's
That's not on the big grid.
Leslie?
So y'all have it.
Yeah, we have it. We're dealing with that. Yeah.
Leslie?
Who's saying yes?
If I may, I just want to point out that the model that I crafted provided that there's no executive committee until we have a new national board, and it's for them to determine.
All right.
Because
okay, so that's one option.
Let me say what the proposal is, okay?
Before the proposal, yes. I'd like to know exactly what does an executive committee mean.
That's why I'd like to tell you what the proposal says.
Okay. Okay.
It's actually a misnomer. It shouldn't be called an executive committee because it has no executive authority. It should be renamed in this model an administrative committee. It consists of the board chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, and such other directors as needed to make sure there's one from every signal area. And they do not have the authority to act. The executive committee shall not have the full authority to act on behalf of the board unless such authority has been specifically delegated to it by for a specific task by resolution of the board. What its job is when something happens, you know, one of those words, that stuff happens between meetings, somebody has to be able to field it. And who is it? That's this committee. And what it can do, it can, on 24 hours notice, have a meeting and either delegate it to a board committee for further action, call a special meeting of the board to ask the full board to decide what to do about it, or delegate it to the executive director as within her or his purview. But it cannot take action on behalf of the board, and it's required within 5 days after doing this, whatever it was, to send its meeting minutes out to the full board. What this does is it allows the board to have somebody besides however many, whether it's 15 or 30 or 100 board members we have, some small group that can respond to things that don't, so they don't fall through the cracks, and get see what has to be done. That's all it is.
One question.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
Leslie.
Yes.
Who can call an executive committee?
Any member of it would be, but you know, the board chair probably would do it, but I don't think it's in here.
Would an individual have to go through the board chair or to call it? So you're saying it's silent on that issue?
It's actually silent on that issue. And it should not be silent, just to be absolutely clear. I would recommend that any member of the executive committee be able to call an executive committee meeting because something came to
this. So it would have to be a principal of the committee?
Well, you could in the bylaws if you want. I mean, it's silent. We could put it in the bylaws, but that's not in there right now.
Okay. Janice was next, and then Amy.
Do these meetings have to be public? Are we restricting the subject of the meetings to certain matters?
Here's our problem. Pacific is required to hold all committee meetings publicly, period, unless we're discussing legal matters, personnel matters, or proprietary matters, which means when you call an executive committee meeting, unless you're discussing that something that is we're permitted to discuss privately, yeah, you call up somebody and say, stream it. We're going to have to do this publicly. So what happens? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen.
No, I'm saying that should be here because it seems to me.
No, it doesn't have to be there because we have mandates to have all our meetings.
We've got somewhere in the bylaw that says all meetings are public, period, unless.
Yeah, Pete.
So if I follow James,
I know, I made a mistake, Marion. Let Pete go.
If I follow James on the question. And having experienced the old executive committee meetings, if I'm not on the executive committee, I can't call an executive committee meeting. Is that correct?
Oh, I see. No, but you could call a full board meeting, I think, or get
that's
somewhere else down here under meetings. You have to get a couple of people, but it's not a high hurdle
to convene a full board meeting.
Yeah. Special meeting of the board. The executive committee, here's the deal. You've got something happened. You know, it's so vague. Something happened. And that's why the executive committee meets.
So something comes to me, and I'm not on the executive committee, but you are, Pete. I give it to you and say, Pete, would you deal with this?
Yeah, and I'm in support of whoever the future board chair is, who is equally as open to having meetings such as our existing board chair. That would be all fine and dandy. But it's about preventing abuse. That's what we're kind of working through here.
That's right.
So I would want to ensure that these meetings can be called quickly and efficiently in support of the board chair to make good value decisions.
Right. I agree.
Okay. Marion was next.
Well, as well-intentioned as this is, it seems like this is a added bureaucracy because the administrative committee can't do anything except discuss this. It seems to me that we have ample committees. If something happened involving finance, that there's a revenue shortfall or something going on, you want to try to look at it initially, the committee could do that and then recommend to the chair of the board to call a special meeting of the board via telephone. So I don't see the value.
Well, I'll tell you what I...
What's the value of having this administrative committee?
It prevents having an executive committee of one.
Well, I got that part of it. Most instances...
It prevents having an executive committee of one because... Stuff happens.
You mean the chair?
Somebody has to decide what we're going to do between now and December when our next meeting is scheduled if something happens.
Give an example.
We get a letter from a lawyer from one of our employees saying he is going to sue the board.
And?
And somebody has to respond to that. It's directed to the board of directors.
Well, why couldn't it be referred to the personnel committee to discuss it, and then the chair would have the authority.
Somebody sent a letter saying they're going to sue me, not the personnel committee.
I know, but the personnel committee...
Can I just jump in there for a second? I can't... maybe it's because of the function of being tired or whatever, but having lived through this experience for the last 8 or 9 months, whatever it is, I am inclined to want to suggest that this organization would benefit by having an executive committee.
Right.
I think that is useful. I'm sorry, but because I'm tired, I can't call up a lot of examples right now.
Would they be able to act?
I think it is. It's better to have the need to talk to other people built in,
right,
rather than just, oh, maybe I'll call somebody and talk to them about it. But the need to have to talk to somebody else, whatever it's called, an executive committee or something, but the requirement that no officer of the foundation could do something, even if it's referring it to some other committee on their own. But it's the requirement that you have to talk to other people to figure out
what steps to take. Would they have the authority to act on anything or just refer stuff? Would they have any authority?
One second, folks, okay?
Would they have any authority to act or just refer this to the appropriate bodies within me?
Well, that's the part I'm actually a little confused on.
Again, you're listening to the Interim Pacific National Board meeting this Saturday from Houston on WPFW in Washington, D.C., on KPFK in Los Angeles, on WBAI in New York, on KPFA and KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno.
We're acting executive committee or an administrative committee, whatever it's called, shouldn't have the authority to take some action. Again, I'm sorry that I can't think of a particular example, but I am open to that notion that there may be something else. Okay, let me just say that there are other from the other listening areas, they had some input on this question also of an executive committee or an administrative committee.
So I have an example.
Well, I'm not clear about this one yet, though.
I have an example.
This one is... And my understanding of it is all that this committee would do is to have the authority to convene a full board meeting, refer something to the executive director, refer something, I guess, to another committee of the board.
But
I think that's
But it doesn't. It's silent on what constitutes a quorum of this committee.
Well, these are the powers of the committee, James. We could set a quorum in another section of the bylaws.
Okay.
The question before us is whether we should have the thing.
Until it's defined,
I know, but I think some people want to talk to whether or not to even have something to define.
If I could, I mean, typically in nonprofit corporations in California, executive committees tend to be the chair, vice chair, committee, you know, the officers, that is, you know, the secretary, treasurer, and then usually the main committee chairs. But there has to be a body that can act in between meetings, and it's under the law, you can have a meeting that's not public if it's an emergency meeting. The issue is that, as I read the KPFA proposal, that indeed the executive committee can have power, but wait until the board is elected and have that power delegated to the executive committee. It's a cautious step, but it seems a prudent one to create what would be an executive committee, do not empower it until the board is constituted, and then once constituted, the board can then say, okay, these are our officers, this is our executive committee, we will give you these powers to execute in between board meetings. I think that's a reasonable proposal in that sense.
Okay. Ernie?
What a short memory we have. This is Bernie Eisenberg. It is by virtue of this executive committee structure that events took place in the past that facilitated the hijacking. And I submit that right now that this discussion about the presumption that there should be an executive committee is before the fact. We haven't discussed the structure of the whole foundation yet, and you don't get to discuss an executive committee until you discuss the structure of the foundation. For instance,
okay, so that we come back to this.
No, well, I want to say this because I know that Tom got up and said that we didn't have a proposal for executive committee, and he sits down, and you guys are talking about executive committee.
Because there's other proposals before us, so we're trying to decide if we
want to. No, you cannot talk about executive committees now before you talk about structure of the foundation.
So I just said, Bernie, your suggestion is that we not talk about this now,
right,
that we talk about the other stuff, and then come back to it later once we've sorted out other stuff. I'm agreeing with you.
All right, thank you.
Or I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Can I just in 30 seconds? Right, and the question of some of those meetings in terms of private
Miguel Maldonado.
And I just want to, I guess, mostly some kind of confusion sometimes when we're talking about having in private meetings by any a group of whatever structure, the board and so on. And I think there's some confusion between what is private and what is public. Sometimes the fact that you can discuss some of those issues and just for all of the national board members to address some of those issues, and we are here seeing and hearing what you're doing, I don't think that made that private. I think that we as a member are entitled to watch and listen what you are doing. Now, when we're talking about private, I think that we should see what is private. For instance, my family is private, and I don't allow any of you to be, and when I'm having some discussion with my family, to be part of that, because the family is supposed to be private. But I think that we should make the distinction between what is private and what is public. So when it's public, I think that we're entitled to listen and see what you're doing.
Right, but, Miguel, let me just clarify. No, I don't think any of the people who have suggested that we have an administrative committee or an executive committee, I don't think anybody has suggested that they could meet in private. Those have to be open meetings.
Right.
Right. Okay. So there's agreement on that.
Okay.
Okay. So the KPFK representative.
I guess in the context of the conversation, what the KPFK unity proposal is a hybrid or a compromise. It is not an executive committee with unrestricted power between meetings. It is the two committees, one the administrative committee and the second the programming committee, are essentially standing committees, but they could be given the ability to respond to those issues between meetings that are within their distinctive purview. Because clearly, the whole board cannot act very speedily or expeditiously on emergency things. But nevertheless, the administrative committee that has purview of personnel and administrative issues, finance, we included budget in there. Those are things that could be responded to on an emergency basis by this standing committee. The programming committee, if an emergency issue arose with programming, could be responding to those issues, although our original thought about the programming committee at the national level because unlike other proposals, we have them also at the local station board level, were thought of as meeting the legal requirement of oversight, of course, but also long-term planning. Okay. So if that helps, maybe this is something that would open up the discussion to be a little broader.
Okay,
Leslie?
Thank you. Yeah, Ray?
I just want to add a clarification for Miguel, because we've had that discussion in New York City, and it's pretty heated debate, that there are no such thing as private meetings. But within the confines of public meetings, there are three exceptions. One of them is personnel, E-L, not A-L, personnel issues, where such as hiring somebody and discussing how much money they're making and what are the present circumstances. The other one is issues that are in litigation, something that's being tried and you cannot discuss openly. And the third one, as Carol says, is proprietary. For example, if we're applying for a license and there was something that would put us in competition with other other system where we would not have those debates. So these are the two conditions within the public context.
Thank you. Again, the proposal was, or the recommendation, suggestion, is that we not continue now on this discussion of an executive committee or administrative committee, that we move through the other committees and see what kind of committee structure we have, and then we can come back to determine whether or not we need or want some kind of executive committee or administrative committee. Right? Is that okay with people? That we can hear? I mean, it makes sense to me. Okay? Jamari?
As a point of process, it's 5:26. I would move that we adjourn at 5:45, so that we can clear the room and be on the good graces of the hotel. And I think we've kind of like, I know, let me speak for myself. I about hit my limit of what I'm effectively able to consume.
If that's the sense of body, then I don't want to get into a big item though that's going to take a half hour.
That's exactly my
right.
point.
So is there a recommendation on what item we could
no,
take?
No, you know, this is what I would suggest this, because I think people have stuff they still want to say.
Yeah, good.
To give us a little break, if people want to make some comments. Let this last 15 minutes. Right. And
while they come to make comments, I would like to make one quick announcement.
Okay. And I also want to review the agenda for tomorrow. That's another thing that we should do.
Yes, all right. One quick announcement. You may have seen this flyer. There is an event tonight. Various Houstonian and Pacifican luminaries will be entertaining and speaking. Ray Hill will be speaking from Ray Hill's prison years about the Pacifica escape. If you're an out-of-towner and you're interested in a ride to that event, Debbie Campbell has a sign-up on a clipboard. We'll be leaving the hotel about 7:30. If you're interested in transportation, please sign that clipboard. If you are a local willing to give a ride to Mecca at 7:30, please go sign the clipboard as soon as possible. If we cannot provide transportation in cars, then we'll know what vans to order from the hotel to provide transportation there at 7:30. Thank you.
Also, just a reminder that for people who are going to need rides to the airport tomorrow, to sign up on the sign-up sheet, which I believe is still outside. Our Houston friends will do the best they can to get us all to the airport. I'm sure they'd love to get us all to the airport.
Leslie, what is happening tonight that we have an option to go to?
Let me just review the schedule and the agenda for tomorrow.
What about tonight?
Tonight the board is invited to a dinner. I don't know what time we have to leave.
George?
Teresa, at someone's house in Houston. What time do we have
George,
to leave?
George, what time
do
we leave?
So the dinner tonight.
Huh?
6:40, but it best be downstairs.
Downstairs at 6:30. We'll go to the dinner and then go to Mecca for this cultural event.
What is Mecca?
It's the multicultural, multi-educational cultural something to the arts.
Okay.
It's a community center, and there's going to be culture and arts. So, right. Maybe what we could do is when the meeting adjourns today here, the people on the board can maybe just figure out who's going which way so we can coordinate the cars and whatever. Okay? That's tonight. Tomorrow morning's agenda. Let me just be clear here, folks. And I don't know how to make this happen. But we really need to start at 9 tomorrow. We didn't today. We started about 9:30 or something. 9:45. Well, we could say 8:30 and then really start at 9. With the first 8:30.
Let's begin at
8:30. We're going to convene tomorrow. What we have to do is the first thing is the adoption of the minutes from our Berkeley meeting and then the conference calls that we had in between then and now.
Then everyone have them.
They were given out to everybody on the board. They're not in your packets. They're given to you separately. That'll be the first order of business, the adoption of the minutes. Then we will discuss the national office move questions. Then what I proposed yesterday was that instead of spending 3 hours on station reports, and I hope there are several station managers and lab chairs in the room now. If some of your comrades aren't in the room, please talk to them about this between now and tomorrow morning. That we really want to cut that down dramatically. We want to go from 3 hours to 1 hour, which means, in order to open up more time for the bylaw discussion, to do that, it means that we're asking people to not read the reports that you gave us. We should read them. The managers and the lab chairs all gave us written reports. Do not read those reports. Instead, though, if there is something important that you left out of the report or some part of the report that you want to call our attention to or, you know, some specific one or two issues that we need to hear from you on, that's what we'd like to get from you. And then if there are any particular comments from people from those cities, we will take those. But we really want to try and do the 5 stations in 1 hour, so that we open up 2 hours of bylaws. Then we would have a short break and then move into discussion about race and nationality and where we are in that work throughout the network. Report from the personnel committee, and I don't know if there's any particular recommendations or just an update, and then we would adjourn the meeting. It's scheduled to adjourn at 2:30. Depending on people's schedules, you know, maybe we can go 3, but I don't think we can get past that. Again, people will have to check out of their rooms probably in the morning before you come into this room, at least the board. We would ask other people not to do that. Let the board check out first so there's not long lines, because then you could just come and go, you know, and check out. So that's the plan. That's the agenda. Okay, Carol?
I'd like to ask the board something, all of you. We have a duty to approve bylaws. And we have a deadline and a process that requires some things of us. And so we're nowhere near through this document to the place where we can send it to lawyers and labs at the end of this weekend. We won't be there. We might be about a third of the way there at the end of this weekend, if we're lucky. That means a couple of things. Either we just abdicate our duty and screw around and don't get it done on time, or we meet again and a special meeting of the board and spend another weekend at this where we don't do anything but do it, and that means we can't do it on the phone. We have to set a meeting date in the very near future, within the next 2 to 3 weeks, I think, and spend more time doing what we are ordered by the court to do. So I'd like to ask the board what the sense of the board is.
Okay, but I would like to actually, what I would like to ask, because I know everyone's tired, I would like to ask us not to have that conversation now, but to consider that and look at your calendars so that tomorrow we can come back to that.
We can have that conversation tomorrow.
Have that conversation with some, I mean, I don't have my calendar with me.
Let's hope about conceptually, though. Conceptually, it seems we need to have another board meeting on this subject.
Yeah, an emergency board meeting.
Right.
Within the next several weeks.
In Washington.
I have no idea how much it costs to have a meeting like this, but certainly that needs to be considered. I understand we can call a meeting at any time, but they seem to be very expensive.
That's a consideration.
That is a consideration.
James Ferguson.
So that's why I don't want to get into all of it now. What I'd like people to do is think about this. So I'm glad Carol raised it now so that we have time tonight to look at our books and call our families and, you know, try and figure out when we might be available and talk to the national staff about
it. Fairly soon that we will go to some community comment before the end of the meeting.
Make some decision that's based on something tomorrow about whether to do it and how to, or where and how or whatever. Okay? So, but again, and the other thing in the bylaw discussion that we need to have a little bit tomorrow, we have to have a little bit of time about the programming, you know, for the issues of governance and bylaws on the five stations. We want to come back to that issue also. So, it's now 25 to 6, so let's take about 15 minutes of comments. If we could do it in 1 minute each, that would be great. Can we have a volunteer timekeeper? I really don't want to do that job. Can somebody volunteer to be the timekeeper? In the meantime, Pete, why don't you start?
Pete. Just a quick announcement. This is Pete with Pacifica.org. I've gotten a lot of emails already and comments that the Pacifica.org/Houston meeting link that I gave earlier was incomplete and incorrect. I've corrected it, and I'm going to be putting as many of the documents that you've heard about today online, so come back and check it out, Pacifica.org/Houston meeting. I have the Unity Caucus up and the links to the grid, as well as anything else the board gives me tonight.
Thank you. Okay, Ted, we'll go back and forth. Ted.
Okay, using the wisdom of Robert, as in Robert's rules, I would like to share with you that executive committees are committees, and they can't do anything unless you say they can. And therefore, especially if they're from an elected body, they help to set the agenda. So I would defer or contradict what Bernie had to say. It helps you to set your agendas and things like that instead of them being done arbitrarily by the president of the body. They don't set policy. They just kind of formulate things for future consideration. And on the issue of the size of your local boards, one of the considerations that you might have taken was having lab representation on all of your committees. So if you have 50 committees, you would have 50 members of your local board so that you have one member of each board. So that's okay. That's
all right. All right. Thank you.
He had said something that I've been concerned about, the ability of the lab went to plan an agenda in a sound way and meet to do that agenda for a public meeting and discuss those issues. And we have had a terrible time in New York trying to do that. And I would like some comment, not now, but I'd like some comment on how we are to do that, because we don't do that. And we get into a meeting and we hem and haw. And I am tired of that.
Okay, great. We can help you on that.
I wanted to.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Tom Camarella.
To
Tom Camarella from PAC. I just wanted to explain what we meant by the executive committee. In the old days, they needed an executive committee because it was difficult to travel or get in contact with someone when you had an emergency. Carol, take your situation where you have a lawyer's letter or something. It is just as easy to contact 14 people today as it would be 3 or 4 in the old days, because the same telephone call or the same letter or the same fax or the same email gets to everybody immediately. And you can out of 14, you'll immediately get 7 or 8 who can talk to you about that particular subject. That's why we said we didn't think an executive committee was needed, especially after the history that we've just had. Thank you.
Hi, my name is... Yes, I understood your point. Thank you.
Yeah, and people understand. Thank you.
Dina, pull up the mic. Hi, my name is Dina Colbert. I'm from WBAI. While I appreciate all the hard work that the board's done on the bylaws, I think that we're not taking into consideration that 3 out of 5 labs also need as much, if not more, time to do the very work that you're doing. Yet again, once you consolidate something that the board is coming up with. And Carol, when you suggested that meeting again is the only option as opposed to dropping it, I believe asking the judge for a delay, given where we are, is another alternative. And I just wanted to put that out to the board, because there is no way that people, listeners, and people from the local areas have time to do the work that they need to do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
No, let's just hear the comment.
Oh, okay.
Let's just hear
related to what she said.
Hi. We have Stacey Davis from KPFT Lab, and I and some of my other lab members are concerned about the resolution that was squashed last night, wherein the voters, the listener sponsors were not allowed to have any say in the assets selling or getting rid of or buying the, you know what I'm talking about, Spooner? I mean, Carol, I'm sorry, Miss Spooner. Hip-hop culture thing. Okay. So I think that we would like some further clarification on how you've come to that decision, and also maybe if there could be some sort of checks and balances to where there would be a point at which it would be set before the voters, like they do in you know, regular corporate models, where there are mechanisms for this issue being put to the voters, and whatnot. And also, I really have the KPFK Unity model. I like it a lot.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Debbie Spear from KSTS in Fresno, California. And earlier today we saw a proposal from the affiliates that board has voted to accept as a means of supporting their representation on the national board. I'd like to thank Ted Friedman, wherever he is, for having filled in for me last night to present a similar proposal on behalf of KSTS and would like to get a similar commitment to creating a mechanism at KPFA whereby KFCF will retain its representation that it has had in the past also. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mary Berg, KPFA Local Board and Bylaws Committee and Election Committee. And I would strongly suggest that the next issue taken up on the bylaws be Article 8. And for consistency's sake, all day you have been taking up the local boards. And it seems very, very confusing at the very best to start taking up powers and committees of a national board that has not even been configured. When you get the duties and responsibilities of the local board done, then you will have, by definition, some concept of what the national board is going to be and who is making it up. And you can then be in a position to take up whatever committees you want to configure. So you would start with Article 8 where you left off. That's my recommendation.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Michael Pimentel from the KPFT Local Advisory Board. I wanted to suggest that, indeed, as Tom Camarillo pointed out, in this day and age of instant communication, the need for an executive committee is much negated. I'd like to tell everyone, you know, I'm a member of the KPFT Local Advisory Board and a member of the KPFT Elections Committee. We're trying to raise some money for our KPFT elections here. Out in the lobby, I have a table set up. We have thank you gifts for any kind of donations you might want to offer. So just to let you know, and if you're interested, it's on the table over there in the corner. Thank you very much.
Hi, Dave Adelson. One of the problems with executive committees in the past period was that they were used to exclude a section of the board from either knowing about or participating in board decisions. I'm not going to take a stand one way or another because it does depend on what powers you grant to an executive committee, but you can deal with those things by making executive committee meetings open to anybody who wants to listen in on the board to get rid of that concern. And I think that if it's not about personnel discussions or legal issues, you can webcast it, so that would deal with it. On the issue of the numbers of peoples on boards, you don't have to hold to divisible by four and keep that 25%. You can give yourself a range of percentages from 22 to 27, and then you can pick whatever number you want for the numbers on the board.
Thank you.
Hi, Serena. Okay. Serene Roberts, New York. I agree, we're certainly not going to get to finish the bylaws this weekend, but whether we get to them in a special meeting after we've considered the cost of that or in December, I want to say that the notion of sending it out to the labs and to an attorney for review simultaneously seems to me to be a tremendous waste of time and money. We should know that what the labs and listeners are going to spend hours and hours and hours discussing and debating has at least already passed the legal test.
Legal first.
So you're saying, I'm sorry, just to be clear.
Legal first?
You think whatever we come up with should go to the lawyer first, and then go, okay, thank you.
But shouldn't we post it on the web and everybody will be discussing it anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Roger Manning from the WBAI area. Myself and Gregory Wendwheel worked on a proposed bylaw to make sure that it was in writing that there would be at least the suggested number of quarterly town hall meetings in each station area, and that was incorporated into the KPFA proposal. And I just want to draw attention to that and urge that we do put in writing in the bylaws somewhere at least the brief mention of that it's in writing that there will be town hall meetings in each listening area space for a million reasons, which I won't go into right now. Thank you.
Andrea Fishman, I want to thank you all for carrying this all out in public. As tedious and exhausting as it is, and as critical as I might be, it's really very informative and educational for the listeners, especially hearing this over the air, although I'm sure it's difficult, to see how these decisions could be made, might be made, should be made, and to start thinking about them. And I think it's really exhausting. I would also urge you to think of a delay, because I think a constellations of decisions that you've made were somewhat required somewhat more conceptual thinking around them rather than a piece-by-piece decision. And you would have more time to think in terms of how to put all the pieces together. And you'd be able to think more thoroughly about the implications of one on the other rather than being forced out of exhaustion and time pressures to make them.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to let everyone know that as part of the coordination of travel, there are two sign-up sheets out on the table to the right as you exit this room. And one is for transportation on Sunday back to the airport after the meetings. You did. And for this evening?
Yeah, we announced all that earlier.
Okay.
But you can't announce that too much. Thanks, Bud. And yes.
Monday morning.
Sir. Yeah. Eben, KPFK, staff rep on the lab, and it's really on the KPFK lab. Right. And so it was really great to hear that there was a quarter vote for staff to be on. Because I think, you know, I met somebody here, and the first thing they asked me was, are you a Shubbite? And what the heck is a Shubbite? That just means that there is a lack in communication. There is a mixing between management and staff. I think that if we are going to move ahead and actually fight the real battle against a dictatorial regime that is in our White House right now, we really have to increase and make sure that we're not demonizing people that really don't have the power to protect themselves. So when you're talking about staff, it would be really fantastic to take a look at the PAC bylaws around accountability to management, accountability to staff, and measures where all concerns can be heard. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think that's it. Rob?
Yeah, Rob? I have to weigh in on this issue of the executive committee, having lived through the last executive committee. Every single issue from 1997 to 2001, which led to the dissolution and the conflict that we had, whether it was the divestiture of the lab's authority to directly appoint people to the board, or whether it was Nicole Sawaya's termination without any cause, or whether it was the occupation of KPFA, or whether it was driving Verna Avery Brown and Dan Coughlin out of Pacifica, whether it was locking out people out of WBAI, whether it was taking Amy off the air. Everything that brought us to the past that we came to, that we had to sue about, was done either directly or with the connivance of an executive committee which assumed authority for the full board.
Yeah.
And one of the traditional problems that we've had in governance at Pacifica is that we have labs. We know what labs are there to do. We as a board have never allowed and encouraged the labs to do that job and encouraged station management to work with them. We have never insisted that the board's committees, that the board's officers do things like keep minutes. We do now. I'm not suggesting that you don't. But one of the things that we've been poor about doing is ensuring that the standing committees of the board that do financial affairs, that do program standards and compliance, that deal with governance, we've never made sure that they did their job, that as board members, we weren't just accountable in terms of talking to people, but in doing the work
that we were brought here to do. We've never done that. And we have never allowed the full board to act as a full board. And that's one of the reasons that we have conflict. Much of it is not simply because we don't have language in the bylaws. It's because we're not concerned that the culture of governance that we have has got relationships that are producing things that are clear and understandable to everybody. So my concern is that I would far less rather have another executive committee that's subject to take us down the same path, but make sure that the committees and the governance structures that we all agree we have to have. We know we have to have a board. We know that board has to do governance and financial affairs. We know that we have to have labs. We know that there has to be a clear dialogue between the listeners and the people that run Pacifica and the other parts of the governing board like us. We have to make sure that we have relationships that produce something that results in a better and stronger Pacifica. I would much rather we don't go down the road of creating more special committees that are going to subsume the authority of the parts of governance that we already got. Sorry to talk so long.
I really, really, really don't want to see executive boards. This is really scary, and I'm surprised we're talking about it. Just like I got surprised last night about this thing about licenses and dispositions of licenses. These are things I don't want to talk about. These are things that we fought against.
Can I say something?
Actually, Jabari.
I just want to say I want to thank the participants, the people here in the audience.
Yeah.
I think this has been probably the most civil, efficient, effective a meeting. And to me, I think this demonstrates a sense of maturity, a sense of maturity that all of us are starting to actually demonstrate as listeners, as board members, as staff, because even the people who, you know, have disagreed with me have, you know, talk to me in a way that, you know, it's not personal, and I think that's what we're really trying to do. We're trying to work through these things as people who had honest differences without, you know, seeing you as being a demon. And I just want to thank everybody. And actually, we're going to get out of here before 6, and I'm going to shut up. But I just want to thank the participants here for acting in a manner that allowed this to go forward the way it has.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Jabari also.
Carol was nice.
Chia, too. Chia did a lot, too.
I've got two things on my mind. We will end up needing a delay. We won't meet our timetable, even if we meet again in 2 or 3 weeks. We're not quite on track. So when people say, "Oh, please delay," we're not going to meet our timetable, but we have to move forward in an expeditious way, or there'll be an interim board for a lot longer than it is good for Pacifica. We have to keep moving methodically is the point that I'm saying. Don't drop the ball. We can't wait till December to come back and do another third of this. Also, I really want to echo Jabari's comments. I think it was wonderful of you guys to really be patient with us and let us do what is our part of the job here. You've been doing your part of the job for months. And we've gotten a lot of great ideas and input and emails and suggestions. And none of that is forgotten in my mind. I've read everything anybody ever sent me. That's for sure. And I think many of the board members have considered and are really grateful for what you've done. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, board, for allowing us to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I think we're done today. Again, we did agree to meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning. I don't know what that's going to mean about the live broadcast. The first half hour may not be picked up. Yeah, I don't think at this hour we can demand that stations rearrange everything. Again, though, I want to thank those stations that are carrying this live and the web streaming and invite people to tune back in tomorrow.
Who's carrying us live?
We're being carried live.
Well, I'll tell you who in just a second here. And stations, I will provide you with material to go up until the top of the hour, just so you'll know, if you need it. But I do want to be able to give some credits before we wrap up.
And then T is just doing it on the web streaming.
And we do know that you will take your trash and glasses.
Okay, let me give you a couple of announcements. We will be broadcasting tomorrow on the Pacifica satellite to as many of the stations who want it, and the audio will be available to you at the earlier hour if you so choose to take it. Let me thank a few people who have been involved in the broadcast here. We want to thank from KPFT, Steve Brightwell, John Almalay, also Errol Maitland, and then a number of people that are associated with KPFA and the Pacifica KU satellite uplink. We want to thank Christopher Martinez, Lisa Ballard, Michael Yoshida, Dev Ross, and Mary Bishop. And let's see here. I want to, thank all the listeners and all the programmers who made room today for this particular broadcast. We'll tell you that we will at least be on the air on all of the stations that are currently broadcasting. They include KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA and KPFB Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno. It also includes WPFW in Washington, D.C., and WBAI in New York. We will at least be starting at 7 a.m. West Coast time, perhaps earlier, and 10 a.m. East Coast time, perhaps earlier on these same stations, depending on what stations are able to do. I'm Jim Bennett, and I want to thank you once again. We'll turn things back to your local stations if they're ready, and if not, we want to provide you with a little bit of music to get you to the top of the next hour, and we'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning here at the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting in Houston, Texas. Thanks for listening.
This is Oscar Davis. Sunday, October 6th, the day before the U.S. started bombing Afghanistan 1 year ago and launched its war on the world. Now they're getting ready for all-out war on Iraq. October 6th, a year of war on civil liberties here and on Arab, Muslim, and South Asian immigrants. October 6th, the day we've got to be in Central Park, New York City, to resist this madness and pledge to stop it. Everyone who cares about morality and justice must make their presence felt that day, to stand with the people of the world and say, not in our name, to the government's cause. Sunday, October 6th, 1 p.m., East Meadow, Central Park. Visit www.notinourname.net or call 212-969-8058. Another world is possible, and we pledge to make it real.
A few months ago, the manager of a comic book store in Dallas, Texas, was busted for selling an adult comic book to an adult. When it went to trial, he lost, to the tune of 6 months in jail, plus 1 year probation, plus a $4,000 fine. The main argument seemed to be that comic books are only for kids. Hi, I'm Ken Gale. Join us on Monday, September 23rd at 10 a.m. as we discuss this with Charles Brownstein, the director of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. We'll put this in the context of censorship in general, the post-9/11 climate, and talk about some of the CBLDF's victories in the area of free speech. Again, join us here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, Monday, September 23rd at 10 a.m.
Is trining Jupiter and you want to celebrate, tune in to Sister from Another Planet every Friday night from 10 p.m. to midnight here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Sister from Another Planet, Andrea Clark, playing the best progressive music from Brixton to Brooklyn. Every Friday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, right here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. Revolutionary love.
Hello, this is Nancy Rodriguez. I'd like to welcome you to join me every Sunday from 2 to 4 for Ritmo con H on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.